Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The date was June 30th, 1859. The location was Niagara Gorge. The stage was set. Or maybe to be more accurate, an 1,100-foot rope had been strung between two sides of the valley, about 165 or so feet above the raging river. Large crowds had gathered on both sides, and their expectations were as high as that rope. Charles Blondin would attempt to cross from one side to the other by walking on that simple rope. With firm confidence, he placed first his left foot and then his right, and without even a moment of hesitation, he began to traverse the gorge as if he were walking on solid ground. 23 minutes later, he had walked across and back. Now, over the next several weeks and even months, he would traverse it again and again, sometimes blindfolded, sometimes on stilts, sometimes carrying his manager. He performed flips on it. He performed somersaults. He crossed while he was shackled. He even crossed one time carrying an iron stove, balancing it on that rope long enough to cook an omelet. 3-inch rope. Now, it's said during one trip, after crossing with a wheelbarrow while blindfolded, he called out to the crowd, and he said, "Do you believe that I can carry a person in this wheelbarrow?" Of course, they answered enthusiastically in the affirmative. Of course he could. And so then, of course, he asked for a volunteer. Yep. None raised their hand. Why not? They'd seen him go back and forth over and over again. He'd been successful each and every time. Surely he would be successful again. So what stopped them from volunteering? And I think the answer to that is that his confidence was not their confidence. He could describe his confidence to them. He could show them his confidence. But until they made it their own, until it moved from their head to their heart, his confidence remained his, and his alone. Now, this may not be a perfect analogy, but it does describe two different types of people, each with different levels of confidence, what separates them from each other. Why was Charles confident, but the crowd not? We can probably list many reasons, but I think they all can be condensed into just two things: patience, or practice, and perseverance. Because these two things, Charles, you see, had the confidence to step out onto the rope, knowing that he would be kept safe. Now, we'll dig into the details of all of this in a moment, but I'd like to connect this account with a portion of the epistle that we heard this morning. "Therefore, brothers, since we have the confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See, the world was raging for these early Christians. Like the river beneath the tightrope, they felt that same fury, that same struggle. All around, they saw persecution from other believers, from the secular forces, even from the religious ones. They experienced hate. They experienced discrimination. And how then could this author instruct them to hold fast the confession of their hope without wavering? How could he expect them to even accomplish that? And he answers it in the verses above, where he reminds them that Jesus opened the curtain, the barrier that once stood between us and God. And by the sacrifice of his body and the shedding of his blood, what we were once restrained from, we are now welcome to enter. Not just enter, but enter boldly with confidence. Confidence that through Jesus, the Father views us as sinless, spotless. We've been washed by Christ's blood, and now we can stand in the throne room of God. But you see, all this is just a description of the reality that we have in the work of Jesus. And it is a great description, a great reality, don't get me wrong. But if that's all it is, we are like the participants that understand the confidence of Charles, but don't fully share in it. And thus, we can't draw on it for strength in times of trouble and in times of turmoil. So then how do we make this reality our own? Same way Charles did. Practice and perseverance. We can turn one last time to Charles to understand from a worldly perspective how confidence is formed and is strengthened. You see, before taking that first step on that rope, he spent decades practicing. No one can count the number of hours he spent learning how to balance on that rope. A rope that started out only inches from solid ground. There's no fear of injury, and so he could practice, perfecting one skill at a time. First balancing, then walking, then jumping, and so on. His confidence was new, but it was also weak. He failed a lot. But over time, his confidence grew stronger. He grew more confident in the abilities, not just of himself, but also in the abilities and the security of all that he relied on. Those anchors, they were attached securely to the ground, and they never failed him, not even once. He could stand on that rope for hours, all with weights, perform all kinds of dangerous activities with a full confidence that those anchors would hold that rope. And the rope, too, the rope that his life depended on, never failed him. During these countless hours of practice, when a failure of any of these things would have caused nothing but inconvenience, they held up. And so many years later, when he had to trust that same equipment, but this time with his very life, he did so with full confidence. Now, in the same way, his practice, his perseverance allowed him to weather any challenge, any burst of wind or other obstacle that threatened his life. Why? Because of his confidence in what kept him alive. He knew that he could rely on the security of the rope and the anchors and the other equipment. He could continue to move forward, constantly relying on that which had never failed him in the past, knowing that it would not fail him now. So now let's move past him. Let's talk about ourselves. We have a God who has burdened himself with our sins. One who has endured the judgment. One who has experienced physical pain. One who has suffered and died. We have a God who has risen from the grave in victory. We have a God who now offers us eternal life in his presence. This reality is our anchor and our rope. God has called us. He has placed us on one side. He has set us on that rope. And he asks us to walk. And he asks us with faith to have the same confidence in him that Charles had in his anchors and his rope. But how? How do we do that? How do we find that same confidence? The answer for us is the same as it was for Charles. Practice and perseverance. We have a God who has done so much for us. A God who hasn't stopped giving. He comes to us, making himself known to us in so many ways. See, through the hearing of his word, through the participation at his table, he serves us. He forgives us. But just as important, he strengthens our faith so that we can have the confidence to walk wherever he leads us and over whatever rages around us. And so that we can do so with confidence that he, like Charles, will never be let down. That he will never let us down. So come. Draw near with a true heart. Meet him in his word regularly. Meet him at his table regularly. Do this regularly. Constantly, as often as you can. And in this way, you will persevere through any trial that comes your way. Let us pray. Almighty God, our sure anchor and unwavering support, we thank you that through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have opened the way into your holy presence. Just as you sustained our Lord through his suffering and death and raised him victorious over the grave, so too strengthen our confidence in your promises. Through your word and sacraments, grant us steadfast faith that we may walk boldly through the storms of this life, knowing that you who have called us will never fail us. When doubts assail us and the waters rage below, fix our eyes upon Christ, our great high priest, who has gone before us and made the way secure. Guide us in faithful practice of your word, that our trust in your promises may grow ever deeper until the day when we shall stand before your throne, not on our own merits, but solely through the righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.